You know, when you turn to the book of Ruth and begin reading those first few verses, we're introduced to a woman whose husband died. And I don't guess that they had been married very long. Here's a woman whose husband had died, and some of you have experienced that in your life. And there was a sense in which she was no doubt lost in where she ought to go and what she ought to do. And her sister-in-law, Orpah, her husband also died. And well, Orpah was just going to go back to her family. And so Naomi says to Ruth, "You go back to your family too." Well, what would you do? Would you want to hang out with your mother-in-law if you didn't have to? I mean, what would be tying you to her anymore? I mean, seriously, why hang out with your mother-in-law if you can go hang out with somebody else? If you can go back to your own family. But there was something binding those two ladies together. There was a relationship between Naomi and Ruth to the point that it caused Ruth, when Naomi said, "Why don't you go back home as well?" It caused Ruth to say to Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave you. Don't make me go. Don't make me go. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you live, wherever you lodge, that's where I'll lodge. Your people, they'll be my people. My God, your God, that'll be my God." There was something between those two ladies. At least Ruth felt that there was some bond between them, where she said, "I can't leave you. I need you. I need this relationship that we have with each other. It's who I am. It is right now my identity as a person. And I can't forsake it." Is there something that we can learn from that account? Are there some applications that we need to make into our relationships this morning? And as we talk about relationships this morning, this has application to every close relationship that you've got. This has application to husbands and wives. It's got application to parents and children. It's got applications to brothers and sisters in Christ. What can we do in our relationships to grow closer and closer? What can we do in our relationships for our bonds to be made stronger and stronger? I want to share some things with you very briefly this morning, and I hope that we will all take these and apply these and say, these are things that I need to do. Don't look at the other person in this relationship. Well, say, if they would do this, then our relationship would be a lot better. Look at yourself this morning. Am I doing these things so that I can have a stronger bond with those that I know and I love? Some of these might challenge you a little bit. But if I'm going to have a closer bond in my relationship, it's going to require, and some men are not going to like this point this morning. They're not going to like me preaching this morning, because it's going to require us talking. If we're going to grow closer to somebody, it's going to require that we talk to them. It's going to require that we open up and we share with them our thoughts. Share with them, yes, that F word, feelings. Oh boy, not that word. It's going to require us to share our needs. It's going to require us to share our emotions, to share our dreams, to share our struggles. If we're going to grow closer with somebody, it's not going to happen if we don't talk to each other. So there's a number of verses on the screen, but I just want to point out one in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul says to these people that he loved, he says, "We have openly spoken to you." The next statement says, "Our hearts are wide open." Our hearts cannot be wide open with each other if we do not openly talk with each other. You want your relationships to be stronger? We need to open up, and we need to talk to each other. Second thing this morning is that it's going to require our time. That's a four-letter word, isn't it? It's going to require our time. That's not easy to do. Are you busy? Is your schedule busy? I think sometimes we make ourselves out to be busier than we actually are. I think sometimes we stress ourselves out about how busy we are, when in reality, maybe we're not quite as busy as we have stressed ourselves out to be. We just want to be busy like everybody else sometimes. But if we're going to grow closer in our relationship, it is going to require time. It's going to require us, and the key word on the screen here, I think, is enjoying quality one-on-one occasions where we're able to be with this person that we're in a relationship with. Do you have time for people that you love? The two books, the two small letters that John wrote, 2 John and 3 John. These two little letters that only have 13 and 14 verses in them. Very short. But at the end of both of them, 2 John chapter and 2 John verse 12, he says, I've got many things to write unto you. I've got a whole lot of things that I want to write to you, but he says, I don't want to do it with paper and ink. I'm going to come. And I'm going to see you face to face so that we can talk face to face and so that our joy can be full. You're not going to have much of a relationship with somebody if all you ever do is text with them. If all you ever do is email with them, you're not going to have much of a relationship with them. And that's what John is saying. If John were to be in our day and age, he'd say, I've got a whole lot to say to you, but I'm tired of texting it. I want to see you face to face and spend some time with you. If we're going to grow closer in our relationships, it's going to require us to devote time to doing it. If we're going to grow closer in our relationships, it's going to require us to trust one another. Somebody says, that's hard to do. And sometimes it is. But if I'm going to trust somebody, then I need to believe the very best in them. Even if they've given me a reason not to, I need to do my best to believe the very best in them. Does Jesus believe the very best in us? Have we given Him reasons not to? I need to believe the very best in somebody's ability, that they can do this. Somebody's reliability, they will do this. And somebody's, you know, in their love and in their determination to be there for me, I need to trust them. Do you trust the people that you are trying to build a closeness with? I know there's people that have broken our trust. Are we working on our end to do what we can to rebuild that trust? As you think about what God says about the need that we need to have trust in each other, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. In this listing of this description of what agape love is, what this unconditional, unselfish love is that we need to have for each other. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7, God says, love bears, what's that next word? All things. Not bears a lot of things. It bears all things. Love believes, what's that next word? All things. Love hopes, all things. Love endures, all things. If I'm going to do my part to grow closer with somebody in a relationship with them, I've got to learn to trust them. I've got to hope in them. I've got to put my faith in them, and I've got to believe the very best that I can in them. If I'm going to learn to have a closer bond with somebody, it's going to require triumphs. Well, what does that mean? That I can understand talking and time and trust. What in the world, what does triumphs have to do with anything? I almost put the word trials there instead, but that wouldn't be very fun, because if you're going to have a close relationship with somebody, it's going to require trials, but that's where triumphs come from. Triumphs come from the trials, from the tough times, from the difficulties that we have in our relationships. Those can either draw us closer to each other, or those can separate us and drive us further away from each other. Have you noticed that? Trials, difficulties, tough times come. What are they going to do to our relationships? Well, if we can do what we can do in those relationships, We need to do what we can to help triumph, to help to come out the other side of those trials. The key word on this one is this word right here, together. It's to do our part to try to come through the other side of those things together. Now, the other person may have something else in mind. You can't control that. The other person may be going their own direction. You can't control that. But as much as depends upon us, we need to do our part to try to come out the other side of this triumphantly. To come out the other side of this closer than we were when we got into it. How is it that some people in this congregation, when we announce how long couples have been married, how is it that some of these couples have been married for 40 or 50 or 60, some of them 70 years? How do people stay together that long? Have they never had any difficulties? They've never had any tough times? Oh, they've had tons of them. But those things have brought them closer together and bound them together. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times, but a brother was born for adversity. Are you in relationships with people that are there for you through adversity because that's what they were born for? That's the kind of relationship that you have. Galatians 6 and verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens so that you can fulfill the law of Christ. When we do that in our relationships, it's going to help draw us closer together. We want to be closer in our relationships. It's going to take, making up a word is what it's going to take. It's going to take taking up for somebody. If we want to be closer in our relationships, I need to take up for the person that I'm in a relationship with. What does that mean? I need to unashamedly defend them. Well, what if they're not worthy of defense? Well, if they've done something wrong, I can't defend something that's wrong. But if I want to be closer with somebody, I need to defend who they are. I need to defend what they've done. If it's not something that's wrong, I need to defend them. Too often people, especially couples in relationships, all of a sudden things start to go wrong and they start to let a wedge divide them. And they say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. Do we take up for one another? Do we defend each other in our relationships? Relationships are going to have problems. Have you ever noticed that? Relationships are going to have problems in them. Do we do our part to help those problems through? When somebody maligns, when somebody criticizes, when somebody we're in a relationship with is being mocked, are we there to defend them? Or do we just jump on the bandwagon? Do we just say, oh, that's a fun thing to do. Let me see if I can get involved in that. A lot of verses on the screen. Acts chapter 9 and verse 27. You remember there was a guy named Saul who became a Christian? And then he went to the city and tried to join himself to the other Christians. You know what those other Christians wanted to do? We don't want anything to do with this guy. Get him out of here. Acts 9 and verse 27 says there was a guy named Barnabas who came along. And Barnabas took Saul by the arm and brought him there. And you know what he did? He unashamedly defended Saul. He took up for this man that everybody else didn't want to have anything to do. You think that created a bond between Saul and Barnabas? Let's see. First missionary journey. Who did Paul go on that first missionary journey with? A guy named Barnabas. Why? Because he took up for him. You want your relationships to be stronger? You need to take up for each other. Finally, for our relationships to be stronger, it's going to require some tenacity. It's going to require, and there's another T word that we could have put here, it's going to require us to be true to each other. I've got to be faithful. I've got to be the one who is determined to live up to my commitments. I need to be the one who's going to live up to my word. My word, sometimes we use this expression, my word is my bond, and that's used maybe kind of flippantly sometimes. That needs to be the case. My word needs to be my bond. If I make a commitment, if I make a promise, I need to be true to it. And I need to be tenacious to the point of being true in my faithfulness. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to be the one that strays in this regard. I'm going to keep on keeping on in this relationship no matter what. We see that with Ruth. We see that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. Three words. Love never fails. If I have agape love for somebody, I don't need to be the one who fails. I need to be the one who remains true to them. Proverbs 27 and verse 10 says, "Never, do not forsake your friend or even your father's friend," it says. Don't be the one that forsakes your friend. Be the one who is true to them, stands beside them, and is tenacious in doing that. How strong are your relationships? Which one of these six things do you need to focus on in your relationships to say, this is what I need, this is where I need to focus, here's maybe where I am weak? And again, this doesn't just apply to husbands and wives, to parents and children. It applies to all of us in whatever relationships those might be. That I have responsibilities in those relationships to do my part for it to be as strong and effective as it can be. Now, that's the introduction to what I want us to focus on. But don't worry, the focus isn't going to be very long, okay? But if this is what is important for your earthly relationships to be strong, what is it going to take for your relationship with Jesus to be made strong? Jesus has done and is doing His part. What is it going to take? How close would you say you are with Jesus this morning? This is a personal question. It's not asking you how close do you think this congregation is, or how close do you think your marriage is, or how close do you think your family is, or how close do you think somebody else. I'm asking, how close are you today to Jesus? How strong is your relationship with Him today? Not yesterday, not where you want it to be. How close are you with Him right now? What are some things that you can do, not somebody else? What are some things you can do today to make your relationship with Jesus stronger? You want it to be stronger? Nah, I'm good. I'm close enough to Jesus. I don't really need to be closer than I am. You know, I'd just be uncomfortable if I got any closer to Him. So, you know, we'll just leave it as it is. You need to be none of us can say that, right? None of us are close enough to Him. What can I do to be closer? What can I do to have a stronger relationship? Some of these words might look familiar. You know what it's going to take to have a stronger relationship with Jesus? It's going to require talking. It's going to require talking. I can't be close to somebody on this earth without talking to them. Can you be close to Jesus without talking? We ought to be able to confide in our Savior our innermost fears, our innermost struggles. We ought to be able to confide in Him our needs and our wants. We ought to be able to lay our hearts open unto Him like we wouldn't open them up to anybody else. Somebody says, but how do we do that? Because somebody says, when we pray, we're supposed to pray to the Father. And that's true. Jesus says, pray like this, our Father which art in heaven. And our prayers are directed unto the Father. But would it ever be wrong for you to talk to Jesus? Would it ever be wrong for you to address Jesus as you're talking to your Father? Do you know that as you're talking to your Father, that Jesus is the one taking your words and bearing them up before the Father and pleading your case before the Father? He knows what you're saying. Is Jesus your friend? John chapter 15 and verse 14 says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I say." If Jesus is your friend, can He be your friend if you don't talk to Him? Jesus is your advocate, 1 John 2 and verse 1. He's the one that your lawyer is, is the one pleading your cause before the Lord. Can you not talk to Him? Lay your heart out open before Him. He's your Lord. Remember what Stephen said in the last two verses of Acts chapter 7? He pleaded with my Lord Jesus, do not charge this against their account. You want to be closer to Jesus? He needs to be your friend. He needs to be the one that you talk to about everything. He needs to be the one that you are willing to open your heart up to and to share with Him things that you wouldn't share with anybody else. If you're not willing to do that, your relationship with Jesus is not going to get any stronger. It's not going to get any closer. What does it require for my relationship to Jesus to be stronger? It requires time. Oh, I'm too busy. I've got too much going on. Not for the Lord, you don't. It's going to require us devoting our time to Him. And we could talk about all sorts of ways that we devote our time to Him. But do you know that Jesus has set aside a time for us to meet with Him? He has put it on your calendar. Did you know that? Did you know Jesus has been messing with your calendar? Jesus put something on your calendar every week as a time for us to spend time with Him. He stuck it there. It wasn't the elders who stuck it there. It wasn't your husband or your wife or your parents who stuck it there. It was Jesus who said, I want to meet with you. At the very minimum, I want to meet with you every first day of the week. That's why we're here this morning, not because this is just something that we do. This is the thing that Jesus put on my calendar this week. Can I miss it? Can I text Jesus and say, I'm not going to make it today, sorry. Jesus put it on my calendar as a time where He wants me to come and be, not just with you, to be with Him, to meet with Him, to hear from Him, and to feast with Him. You know, it's interesting. Friends like to eat together, don't they? Well, this church does. I don't know if we're friends. I think we're friends here. This church likes to eat together. But if you notice how friends like to eat together, what happens on most dates? You go out to eat. Why? Because you're friends. You're getting to know each other. We like to eat together. Somebody says, well, you know, you want to get together this week? Sure. Let's grab lunch together. Well, why do you got to grab lunch? Because we eat together. That's what friends do. Jesus instituted a feast. And he ate at other times. John chapter 12 and verse 2, He had supper with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. John chapter 21, Jesus made breakfast for 7 disciples. How would you like to be one of those disciples? Jesus made them breakfast on the shore of Galilee in John chapter 21. But this is not like one of those feasts. This is a feast that Jesus instituted that He wants us to assemble and to partake of every week, and not just do it with each other, but Matthew 26 and verse 29 says, we do it with Him. How close is your relationship with Jesus? If we can find excuses not to meet with Him when He is designated for us to meet with Him, we're not as close as we should be. We ought to long for this. This ought to be the highlight on our calendar that nothing else can get in the way of. You want to get closer to Jesus? Requires talking. Requires time. It requires trust. It requires that I trust Jesus for everything that He is and everything that He says and everything that He does. I don't question Him. Too many people today want to question the Lord. Well, I'm not sure that that's what He wants. If He said it, that's what He wants. I need to trust His promises, that whatever He says is true. I need to trust what He's told me. I need to trust everything about Him. If this is going to be what's going to draw us closer in our relationships, we've got to have trust, believe the best in each other we talked about. What about Jesus? Do you trust Him completely in everything? You know, in Psalm 56, is a great passage. And here's a psalm about learning to trust in the Lord. And think about these words in Psalm 56 and verse 3. Bible says, whenever I am afraid, I trust in you. You ever been afraid? You ever had times of uncertainty? You ever had news that you received about yourself or a loved one, some diagnosis, some report about something, and you received this, and all of a sudden you felt a wave of anguish come over you? And the Bible says, whenever I am afraid, you know what I do? You know what David said? I trust in you. And the very next verse he says, and when I put my trust in you, I'm not afraid anymore. Look at that cycle there. Whenever I'm afraid, I trust in you. And when I put my trust in you, I'm not afraid anymore. What can man do to me when I put my trust in the Lord? You want to draw closer to Jesus? Love Him with all your heart. Put your soul into serving Him. Trust that what He says is true. Trust that when He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that He's there for you every step of the way and everything that you do. Even when things don't appear to be going well. Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When they did not bow down to that image and they were brought before the king, was the king a little bit upset with them? He was enraged at these men who did not bow down to his image. And he said, I'm going to give you one more opportunity. Remember this in Daniel chapter 3? I'm going to give you one more opportunity. We're going to play the music again. And buddies, when we play the music, you're going to bow down. You remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said? Daniel chapter 3, it's about verses 16, 17, and 18. They said to the king, listen, king, we're not bowing down to your image because our God is going to deliver us. I want you to think about this. What is this king going to do with that fiery furnace? He's going to heat it up 7 times hotter than it was. If you had a fiery furnace waiting for you 7 times hotter, would you be thinking, you know what? What's a little bowing down to this image a little bit, you know, just to save my own skin? They said, we will not bow down to your image because our God will deliver us. That's not what I want you to focus on. Verse 18 is what I want you to focus on. They said, even if our God doesn't deliver us from this, we're still not bowing down to your image. We trust our God. He's going to save us from this. But even if God, in His wisdom, looks down and says, this is not the right thing, I'm not going to save them at this time, and they're going to have to perish in the fire, they said, if that's what God wants, we trust God and not you. How strong is your relationship with Jesus? That no matter what's going on around us, we say, He's got this. And He's got this better than I've got this. And I'm just going to put myself into His hands. You want a stronger relationship with Jesus? It's going to require triumphs. And remember what triumphs are. Triumphs are the result of tough times, of trials, of difficulties in life. What's going to happen if you try to face your trials and your difficulties and your tough times all by yourself? Well, if you try to do that without the Lord, you're going to fail miserably. But if we lock arms with Him and put our trust in Him and say to our friend, I need your help. What kind of friend is Jesus? If Jesus knows that you need His help, what kind of friend is He? Is He going to have to check His calendar? Oh, it's not a good time for me right now. I'm going in for a massage. And, you know, when I get out of the massage, I've got to go and get a mani and pedi and all of this. So I don't really have time right now. But, you know, when I can get to you, I'll work it in. Is that what Jesus does? There's two verses on the screen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. And Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 16. And there's a word help, H-E-L-P. There's a word help in both of these verses. And in both of these verses, it's talking about Jesus helping us. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, whenever we're tempted, He's there to help us. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says that we have a Savior who is in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's our Savior. And so since we have that kind of a Savior and friend, we ought to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain help in time of need. That little word help is from a Greek word that means that somebody, I want you to listen to this, this little word help means, and it's applied to Jesus in these verses, the little word help in the Greek language means that somebody comes running at a cry or a call for help. That's what that word means. It doesn't just mean help. It doesn't just mean, sure, I'll write you a check. How much do you need? All right, here's the money. I'll help you out. That's not the kind of help that Jesus is offering. The kind of help in the book of Hebrews is that Jesus, when he knows we need help, runs to our side when we cry to him for help. That's your friend. That's your Savior. That's your Lord who is ready to help you to triumph through all of your worst points in life. How close are you to Jesus? How close is that bond? Is that relationship? Are you locking arms with him? Are you relying on him to help you through the toughest points in your life? You want to have a stronger relationship with Jesus? It's going to require taking up for him. We live in a world that is doing everything they can to malign the name of Jesus. We live in a world that's doing everything that they can to tear down Christianity, to tear down the church, to tear down righteous living, to tear down everything that has to do with God and Jesus and the Bible. And what are we supposed to do? Just sit by? Just sit by and let all of this go. That's not what a friend does. A friend does not let his friend be maligned and criticized, and everything about his friend, his church and his way of living, let all of that be maligned and criticized. Oh, well, that's just him. It's not me. If we want a closer relationship with Jesus, we've got to be the one who unashamedly defends the faith, who unashamedly defends our Lord and his way of living. Why are you a Christian? Why are you doing? Why are you living this way? Why are you doing things differently than everybody else? Why don't you curse like everybody else does? Why do you say something to us in the office when we curse and ask us not to do that? Why don't you go out to the clubs with us? Why don't you go out to the bar with us? Why do you not dress like everybody else? Why do you always have these clothes that seem to cover up your body instead of flaunting your whole body for everybody? Why are you different? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed that you serve the living God. Don't be ashamed that your friend Jesus died for you on the cross and you're giving your life to him. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep whatever I've committed unto him until that day. Put his trust in him. And he's ready to defend him. In Philippians 1 verse 16 to 17, he says, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Are we set? We want to be closer to him. We've got to say, I'm going to defend Jesus no matter what. Finally, if we're going to be closer to him, it's going to require tenacity. It's going to require that we be true to him. It's going to require that no matter what the devil does, no matter what the devil tries to throw in our way, no matter what the world tries to offer us, the devil's going to force you to make a choice. The devil's going to force us to make choices. Are you going to serve Jesus, or are you going to listen to what your friends say? Are you going to serve Jesus, or are you going to listen to what your family says? Are you going to serve Jesus, or are you going to follow after what everybody else is doing? Are you going to serve Jesus, or are you going to follow after this sinful practice that you're tempted to be involved in every day? What? The devil's going to make you make a choice. We've got to be true to our Lord. We've got to be tenacious in our faithfulness to him. Do you know Revelation 2 and verse 10? We quote the last sentence of Revelation 2 and verse 10. But do you know that that verse is a lot longer than what we quote? Do you know that Jesus was saying to that church, you are going to be tested. You're going to be tried. And not the way that Americans are. They were going to have their lives put on the line. And he says, it may come to the point where you're going to have to defend the cause of Christ so much that your life will be taken from you. And that's why he says, be thou faithful, even if it means giving your life. Be faithful unto the very point that you die for Jesus and you'll receive the crown of life. Perhaps some of us are not as close to the Lord as we need to be. I don't know that there's a single one of us in here that can say, I've got as strong a relationship with Jesus as I possibly can have. Which of these areas do you need to focus on? To say, here's where I can put some energies today, in this week, to truly bond myself with the Lord, to truly help myself to become closer to Him every day, to talk with Him. And I don't know if the ushers are listening out there and if the ushers can hear me, but you all can start passing. Hey, hello. You all can start passing out the booklets. But what can I do to be closer to Him? I need to talk to Him. I need to confide in my friend. I need to spend time with Him. I need to trust Him with my all and to lock arms with Him through my trials so that I can triumph with Him at the end, and to do so by taking up for Him and doing it with tenacity. During this year, 2018, we've been focusing in on, every month, we've been focusing in on 28 things that we can do in a month to help ourselves to walk closer with our Lord. And we've had a variety of different things. And this month of May, I hope you've been involved in this month of May. And if you've missed out, there's some booklets for May over on the table as you leave. And it's on our website. You can go to the Bible study link on our website. It's on our Facebook page. It's being posted every day. 28 things in May that we can do to help our family, to be closer as a family unit and to draw closer as a family. So we've had 28 things this month, and I hope you've been following along, where there's been verses to read as a family and to pray about that and to make a pact together that we're going to do this as a family. And if you haven't been, that's fine. You can start today and catch up. But June, the month of June, starts this month. And so for the month of June, what we'd like to focus on is what we've been talking about today. Spending 28 days to grow closer to Jesus. What can we do in 28 days to draw closer to Jesus? We can do some of the things that we've talked about this morning. But the things that's being passed out now, there are 28 chapters in the book of Matthew. Isn't that helpful? If we're going to spend 28 days trying to draw closer to Jesus, what's something we can do? We can spend one day this month reading a chapter out of the book of Matthew. And in 28 days, we will have read the entire book of Matthew. Well, what is the book of Matthew about? It's about Jesus. And if I read through this book with a mindset to draw closer to Him, then I can allow the Word of God to get inside of me and help me to draw closer unto the Lord. And so the booklet's being passed out. The idea here is for us to read a passage, to reflect upon it. And after we've read it, and after we've reflected upon it, to then be able to connect ourselves and reconnect ourselves with the Lord. And so there's some questions in here for each chapter. But don't get so focused in on the questions. Hear me on this. Don't get so focused in on these four questions that are there for each day that you miss the point of the month. Our point this month is to draw closer to the Lord. And that's why the number four question on the bottom of every page in here is, what can I draw from this chapter to help me to draw closer to Jesus, my King, my friend? I hope that we can do this as a family, as a congregation, to spend this month reading through the book of Matthew together, to allow that not only to help us draw closer as a family unit as we do it, and as a congregation, but to draw closer to the Lord. And if you've missed out on previous months, then go to the website and pick up on those. Pick up the stuff that's out on the table in the lobby and do that as a family. The whole design behind this year is to help us to walk closer with our Lord and with each other as we try to do it. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning in your relationship with Jesus? If you want to be closer with Him this morning, the first thing you've got to do is become a child of God if you're not one. You cannot live close to Jesus if you're not a child of God. Becoming a child of God requires that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That we repent from our sins. We say, I want to stop doing what's wrong. That's what separated me from God. I want to start doing what's right. And when I make up my mind to do that, I need to confess the faith that's in my heart and to be baptized. Be baptized into Christ to allow His blood to wash away every sin I've ever committed. And when His blood forgives me of my sins, it will draw me into a union with Jesus like I've never had before. And then He calls upon me as one of His children to walk in step with Him, to walk closer to Him every single day. The way 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He, Jesus, is in the light, we'll have fellowship not just with each other, we'll have fellowship with God and with Jesus. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will cleanse us. Are you one of His children today? Are you walking faithfully as one of His children? If we can help you to grow closer to Him this day, then why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.